How was he, Srila Shukadeva, the son of Vyasa, recognized by the citizens when he entered the city of Hastinapur, now Delhi? After wandering in the provinces of Kuru and Jangala, appearing like a madman, dumb and retarded. Again. How was he, Srila Shukadeva, the son of Vyasa, recognized by the citizens when he entered the city of Hastinapur, now Delhi? After wandering in the provinces of Kuru and Jangala, appearing like a madman, dumb and retarded. Report. The present city of Delhi was formerly known as Hastinapur because it was first established by King Hasti. Goswami Shukadeva, after leaving his paternal home, was roaming like a madman, and therefore it was very difficult for the citizens to recognize him in his exalted position. A sage is not therefore recognized by sight, but by hearing. One should approach a sadhu or a great sage not to see, but to hear him. If one is not prepared to hear the words of a sadhu, there is no profit. Shukadeva Goswami was a sadhu who could speak on the transcendental activities of the Lord. He did not satisfy the whims of ordinary citizens. He was recognized when he spoke on the subject of Bhagavatam, and he never attempted jugglery like a magician. Outwardly, he appeared to be a retarded, dumb madman, but in fact, he was the most elevated transcendental personality. In the ninth canto, third volume, there's a painting to go with the narration about Shukadeva in the womb. The painting shows Shukadeva's mother in a cottage, and she's very pregnant. And at the door, inside the door, rather, in the room, is Lord Krishna, who's looking very beautiful as a prince, Dwarka. And he's speaking. And at the door, looking in, is Vyasadeva, the sage. So the narration tells how Shukadeva was in the womb of his mother. We know that he was in the womb of his mother and stayed for 16 years. That's how he became sadhu, by hearing from his father, Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is the literary incarnation of Krishna, so he could not have a better spiritual master. Vyasadeva is the compiler of all the Shastras, and he's the disciple of Narada Muni. How could he do better than that? Not had the best spiritual master. That is why he's a sadhu, because he heard, Shravanam. Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, said that because he was very good at Shravanam, very good means that he wanted to hear. We all have heard how Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning of his relationship with his spiritual master, and that relationship was not one built up over many, many occasions and many, many years, continuous association and physical presence of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Rather, Srila Prabhupada said he had met him maybe on a dozen occasions. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was nevertheless very pleased with Srila Prabhupada. So on one time, when Prabhupada was a new man in the association of the Gaudiya Mutt, there was some occasion and some pilgrimage. And so there were many of the members were there listening to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati speak in his room. And Prabhupada said for himself, he could not hardly understand the philosophy. He said, actually, I couldn't understand it at all in the beginning. So he stayed there because somehow he was attracted to hear from a spiritual master. Ado Shraddha, that's called. That in the beginning even, when you don't even know exactly what all is being said and what is going on in Krishna consciousness, nevertheless, you have some faith that these people and this philosophy is very nice. And this austerity and this practice that they're doing, this preaching, this whole Krishna consciousness and this Krishna, the goal, it's all very nice. Now, of course, I am not at anywhere near the standard of doing it, but if I could, I would aspire to this. I want to hear, I want to associate. That is, without that, then nothing, you can't get anywhere. Whatever other facilities you might have to give to this Krishna consciousness movement, you have to have that. So, Prabhupada had it in great abundance, bhakti. He, of course, learned it from his father. Prabhupada writes in that dedication to the Krishna book. Dedicate this book to my father, who, from whom I learned and first imbibed Krishna consciousness, and learned how to play madranga, and he gave me facility for Ratha Yatra festival. How could we imagine from the little Ratha Yatras that Srila Prabhupada was performing in his neighborhood that this big new Jagannath Puri Ratha Yatra would come? So that was from his father. So he's actually the father of the Ratha Yatras in the West, Gaur Mohan Day. So he learned from him about Krishna, and then he said it later became solidified when I met my Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So Prabhupada would hear and hear and hear and go on hearing, just like Srila Prabhupada, when he is in his normal condition, it speaks hour after hour. People come and go for darshan. They listen for a while, and we have so many tapes, room conversations. He's demanding that by on the basis of logic and knowledge and anything, that you surrender to Krishna. And this, as it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you like to base your position, base your activities on argument and reason, and then come and see if by any reason you can find anything more attractive and favorable than the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, than the welfare of Lord Chaitanya. Then he says, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, if you do apply your intelligence here, you will find it strikingly wonderful. But the people don't find it. They cannot. Their attention spans are very limited, and they have to get home to their family. So they listen a little while and then go, come and go. But even the disciples find it difficult to hear from the spiritual master for too long. But Prabhupada said, they would come and go, but I would stay and hear. And so finally there was hardly anyone left hearing. And then he said that this was, one of the members said, now we're all gathered for this pilgrimage and in the association of our spiritual master. So tomorrow there's an opportunity we can all go on pilgrimage and see different sites. But also, this is Guru Maharaj's last day here. He will also be speaking. They had some alternate program. So many of them went to see the temples, but Prabhupada stayed and heard. And there was hardly any other people after a while, except a few senior members and Prabhupada. And then Guru Maharaj took notice of him and said, this boy is very nice. He likes to hear. So Prabhupada says, because I was good at Shravanam, now I can do well Kirtanam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani Vedanam, Iti Pum Sarpita Vishnu Bhaktis Channa Valakshina, Kriyata Bhagavata Yadha, Tanmanya Editam Utamam. Anyone who has mastered these nine processes of devotional service, or one of them, beginning with hearing is most important, he, it says Prahlad Maharaj, is the most learned man because he knows Krishna. He's a sadhu. So Sukhdeva was sadhu. He heard from his father. But he didn't want to come out of the womb because he knew this material world is very entangling. You get entangled, just like Prahlad Maharaj said, Ko Maramacharat Pragyo. You better begin very quickly, Krishna conscious, because if you don't begin at childhood, you become very entangled soon with your career and your education and then your wife and your family and your loans and your duties, and then you won't be able to come out. Like you'll be like a cocoon, or like a silkworm within a cocoon who has no way to get out, except that he has to be cut out by the cultivator. And meaning, the root meaning of this word sadhu is also the word cut. The sadhu is the one who comes and cuts the attached householder out of his cocoon. And he doesn't cut with a knife, but he cuts with his words. So his words are not always flattering, but they're cutting, like the words of Vidura to Dhritarashtra. So we are Krishna conscious people, we're also cutters, cutting. They say brainwashing. Some aggressive words that were too aggressive, too cutting, too pushy. But we have to do it not out of some, that we're all aggressive natures. One person who was wrote a book about different cults, and every time she described Krishna consciousness, she said they're very arrogant, they're very angry, and very strong-minded people. That's probably because every time she said some nonsense, some devotee would check her and did not have one of these flowery, pseudo-all-is-one smiles and, yes, everything is all right. He said, no, that's nonsense. You're a demon. So that other woman who wrote a book, anthropologist Daner, she would always complain that I've put in so much time in the temples and associating with the devotees, I'm actually your friend. Well, why are the devotees, they call me a demon all the time? So these people, they think we're very upstarts. We're not upstarts, but we should not be upstarts. But the sadhu has to cut. What, as Prabhupada says, that someone will say, Prabhupada used, there was one professor came to Prabhupada in Europe, who had written a book. His name was Jean Herbert. He was famous in Europe, and he was supposed to know about Krishna, and he wrote a book, The Loves of Krishna. So it was all so many discrepancies in it. He was not a devotee. So he came to see Srila Prabhupada, and they were talking, and Prabhupada said, it is not an easy thing to understand Krishna. He kept emphasizing, it's not easy that you think you know Krishna. Knowing Krishna is not very easy. And the man said, yes, it is not easy, he said. Therefore, I spent 18 years writing this book. And Prabhupada said, but still you have made so many mistakes. So later, the devotees were discussing it, that it was with difficulty that this interview was arranged. And that was quite a thing to say to the man. So Prabhupada said, yes, I know. He said, but I could not help myself. He said, what could I do? In other words, he has this commission from his Guru Maharaj, and he's simply like a talking box or like a puppet who has to say what Krishna says. So that is sadhu. But Sukadeva was afraid that if I come out, I won't be sadhu, I'll be a sadhu. And then, strangely enough, when Vyasadeva preached to him, you come out, he said, no, you're a householder, so how can you tell me? You're already entangled, even to Vyasadeva. He said that. So Vyasadeva wanted his nice son to come, so he went to Krishna, and he said, Sukadeva will not come out. Please, he won't even listen to me, because he thinks I'm Grihastha. Just like we read yesterday, that he was regarded as Grihastha, as if he would see the girls differently than Sukadeva. So Krishna came and spoke to him and gave Sukadeva all assurance that you come out, you'll become a great devotee, you won't be entangled. One can live in this world without being entangled and take on all kinds of activities. Anasaktasya vishayam yataraham upayunjita sambhanda Krishna sambhande yuktam vairagyam uchate. You can, one who does not attach to anything, but he sees everything in relation to Krishna, he's rightly situated above possessiveness. So in this verse, it describes that when Sukadeva appeared in the world, He appeared like a madman, dumb and retarded. This is called Avaduta. And there are many different examples. Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Rishava, Lord Nityananda, Jad Bharat, they took this appearance. Why appear like a crazy man? Appear like a crazy man means Sukadeva walked naked. He let his hair grow without any social care. Or they stay in a filthy place. Or in the case of Jad Bharat, even appear completely dumb. Jad Bharat is a very good case, extreme case, of being both highly enlightened, refined human being, but being a devotee, yet acting like a dumb person. In his case, as Maharaj Bharat in his previous life, he went to the forest and became very close to becoming a completely liberated soul in Krishna Prema. But at the end, he became attracted to a deer in the forest, and he died in that consciousness and had to come back as a deer, a stag. As a stag, he was not as usual. He had the consciousness of an advanced soul. And so even as an animal, so we saw this spider come into Tulsi, we don't know why, but this stag, some of the sadhus, they would always see this stag coming around. They may have wondered why, but Jad Bharat as a stag used to always go where there were sadhus, and he had the consciousness of an advanced person. So then in his next life, he just passed his life as a stag. Then his next life, he was born in the human society again as Jad Bharat. Jad means dull or dead. Actually, this of course is not for us, but there was one devotee who wrote to Srila Prabhupada once that in the company of my god brothers and god sisters, I'm feeling very stupid and dull. And I am dull, and I cannot seem to say anything or do anything. I'm lamenting. And Prabhupada wrote back, "That is very good." He said, "You remain like Jad Bharat." He said, "Let people think that you're dull." So we don't have to be very bright. If actually we can be sincere and do our service to Krishna, that is the main thing. So Jad Bharat, he purposely, he was thinking, "All right, I almost made it back to Godhead in my previous life, but I missed it. It is very difficult. The Maya is very strong." This time I'm going to be very careful. I'm not going to let anyone, I'm not going to get into any bad association. I'm not going to be influenced by any nonsense persons. So the best way to do it is I will just lead a calculated life. Let everyone think I'm stupid, fool number one, and they won't bother with me. And then I'll go back to Godhead. I'll just keep within my Krishna consciousness. So his father, he was very proud. It is my son. I'm going to raise him to be a great Brahmin. So he was trying to teach him things, but Jad Bharat was so stupid he wouldn't cooperate. He couldn't even teach him how to behave, that now you should pass stool like a Brahmin, you wash your hands. But he would do the opposite. He would wash his hands and then pass stool. And so his father said, "This is useless. I can't even teach him anything." So he gave him up. But then later in his life, he revealed himself to this king, Maharaj Rahugana, and he spoke. It's like an angel, like a sadhu from the Vaikuntha. And he was appearing just like a dumb slave of the king. And then he spoke, "I am not this body. I am a self-realized soul. You're talking very stupidly, my dear king. If you think that I'm this body, if you think that you're a king, everything designation is just actually ultimately it's dirt. Because this bodily conception is earth. It will exist only for a little time. And then it will go away. But we are all eternal souls." And the king said, "This is amazing." And he made obeisances to the stupid looking person. And understood, you're not what you appear to be. This is what is pointed out here. That a sadhu is to be known by, not his appearance, but by what he says. But you can't imitate this There are so many things to consider. Why do we have these extraordinary cases? Nityananda, Rishabha. Rishabha used to lie in his own stool, but Prabhupada writes that his stool was as fragrant as roses for miles. You cannot try that. Actually, there have been people as so foolish, contemporaries of ours, who have associated with Prabhupada as to set themselves up as some... Now I've left the society and I'm wandering as an avaduta. But they cannot exhibit anything like Vishabhadev. Prabhupada even anticipates this kind of nonsense behavior, that one can again become some crazy hippie and say, now I'm a sadhu better than the ISKCON devotees, and I can wander like a hippie, but I know so many things, I know Krishna. Because long ago there was some person named Arhat, who he's actually the historic founder of the Jain religion, which is a big religion in India. And they said, well, we're following Rishabhadev, but they acted just like hippies. And the hippies are also like followers of this Arhat. They don't clean themselves and speak concocted philosophy. And just by acting like a hippie, one thinks that that's advanced. I don't clean myself, I'm not regulated. But I'm very advanced, so I don't have to do those things. No. So, why do we have these extraordinary examples if people will misunderstand them? Another one, not Avaduta, but I was thinking extraordinary examples. There are extraordinary examples that we're not supposed to follow, like Raghunath Das Goswami. His austerity, Prabhupada says, if you try to imitate it, you'll lose all the pious credit that you have. It's so unfavorable if you try to imitate that he had a little butter every other day and was so austere. So we have them, the gopis also, because we should worship their example and also follow what they say. Whatever the great personality teaches, we cannot always follow everything that he does. And that is also with Srila Prabhupada. Don't try to imitate. But when you see the extraordinary devotional service life that they led, you can worship that life, you can worship that person, and do what he says. Do what the sadhu says. So Prabhupada is also in this category, that the important part is his teaching. His teaching is perfect. He is completely surrendered to Krishna. His life is perfect. Actually, you can also see the sadhu if you see through hearing, Chakshu Shastra, if you see through the eyes of the scripture. Someone may see Srila Prabhupada and said, he is very ill. He has succumbed to the material nature. He is suffering from karma. No, that you're seeing ignorant with ignorance. See through the eyes of the scripture. See how he is... what an example he is giving to us that probably none of us could follow. Anyone else would have given up long ago. One cannot stay alive against so many difficulties. So one gives up. But Srila Prabhupada wants to serve Krishna, and no matter how difficult it appears in the material situation, the material body, he is showing us that he is not coming off the transcendental platform. He is staying on the transcendental platform, chanting Hare Krishna, and as far as possible. The example he shows us is that he is not God, but he is being controlled. He's just a tiny living entity. But whatever inch of strength comes to him, he'll use it for Krishna. Even against Prabhupada's servant wrote, he said, Prabhupada is the worst patient in the world. That he, as soon as he gets a little strength, he uses it up right away for Krishna. And then he's like, now look what you've done. Now you're very, very ill again. And then a little strength comes again, he uses it immediately for Krishna. So his example is perfect. That against all odds, he remains on the transcendental platform. That's the sadhu. So you can see, actually, not only that you have to hear, but if you see him with the eyes of hearing, the eyes of the scriptures, then you won't find any imperfection. just as the example in the Nectar of Instruction. There's no dirtiness in the Ganges River in the rainy season. That muddy appearance is not regarded by any saintly persons or persons in knowledge as contaminated or filthy Ganges, but they bathe in it with all assurance that it, simply the rainy season has made it this nice saffron color, and it all benefit is there. So the sadhu has to be seen in that way, by hearing. So there's no shortage. We have Prabhupada's books and so many instructions, and if we follow him, then we can become sadhu also. And there's such a need for sadhu, saintly person. Our society doesn't care at all for sadhu. Prabhupada writes one purport, he uses a different word, mahajan, for great soul. And he states that in material society, they've developed so many different mahajans. It's quite a purport. He said, for the businessman, some big magnate is a mahajan. And just like we see for the teenagers, some big rock star is a mahajan. For the ambitious persons, this person is a mahajan. This group has their mahajan. That group has this, or you could say sadhus. It's like the movie stars and the rock stars. Whatever song they sing or whatever they do, that's regarded as, oh, now here's the direction. It's like Moses gave the direction. They take it very solemnly. This is the new way to dress. This is the new way to think. This is the way to sing. This is the way to walk. This is the way to talk. Sadhu, mahajan. But those people, they can't help the followers. The followers, they'll not be helped at all. But they won't listen to the Krishna conscious person who's actually a sadhu. People don't know that in the next life, there is a next life. They don't know that for their sinful activities, for supporting cow slaughter, for supporting sinful activities, that they will suffer. And the sadhu is saying, you will suffer. Prabhupada says, like in the dark of night, in the rainy season, there's so much darkness, and there are all little fireflies flickering. In other words, there's no light. Maybe someone, it's like the president is saying, there should be human rights. People should have human rights. That's a little flickering of a firefly of goodness. But the guru comes like the moon. Suddenly in the dark, in the night, it's cloudy because it's a rainy season. And then the moon somehow comes out. And then it's so wonderful. So that's the spiritual master. In Kali Yuga, he's come and giving the light. So we know that it's important that the self is going to take another body, and that the world cannot be happy unless it's on the platform of self-realization. And the sadhu, Prabhupada writes, he is always very concerned, and he feels very deeply how horribly everyone is suffering. Not just that he says it, but he feels it. And therefore, Prabhupada has organized this Krishna consciousness movement, not as an introverted movement, but to help all the people who are so horribly suffering from the mismanagement of all the leaders. Suffering in this rich country, suffering in that poor country, everyone is suffering due to mismanagement. This world is not an impossible place to live. You can live here and go back to Godhead in a human life. It can be very peaceful. But now it's become a torture. So the women are tortured because of the sex, and the men are tortured because of the sex, and tortured in every other way. So there's such a need for a sadhu, Krishna conscious person. Therefore, even if they're not supporting by official methods, Prabhupada says that we don't really need the political. In one place he says that a movement cannot become very well spread without politics. But in another place he's written that even if there is no political support, the Krishna consciousness movement doesn't depend on it. We'll reach the people in another way. Generally the people are motivated by the machinery of the society and the civilization. And that's how everything happens. But it's also possible to simply directly reach the people, they call grassroots, person to person, door to door. We're persons, your persons. Never mind the government. This is the truth. Take it from us. So this is the book distribution. Influence. We're not waiting for permission. We're not waiting for patronage. But just influencing by millions of books being distributed. And these books are not bogus, but they are directly from Krishna, through Krishna's pure devotee. So are there any questions or comments?